This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The president is threatening Twitter on Twitter,
the social media site he has used more than 50,000 times,
saying he will strongly regulate or close them down after they fact-checked two of his tweets that falsely claimed mail-in voting leads to fraud.
My experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
It'd be a risky experiment for us. We've never done a mail-in ballot statewide.
Wasserman Schultz is worried about signature fraud, disenfranchising college students, getting addresses wrong.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The way that the president conducts himself, in a way, he's dog whistling.
The environment that this president has trafficked in can help to lead to these sorts of situations.
I am asking my colleagues, the mayor, to declare a state of emergency, declaring racism as a public health issue.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I have never seen anything like this. The building's beginning to collapse. The building is collapsing. The building just exploded. Oh my God.
Everything is on fire. Everything is exploding. Oh, I think Wendy's is on fire. I love that Wendy's. Oh, hell no.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today before we close out our assembly?
I'm talking on behalf of my friends. Will they be able to have graduation parties for their children? They're very confused, getting mixed messages.
We are in a state of emergency, which limits gatherings to under 10 in indoor and confined spaces.
There's actually not a rule that says that.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
They just continue to make it up as they go along. That was Karen Polito yesterday at the meeting of the Governor's Council at the State House. It was a virtual meeting, so Counselor Marilyn Petito Devaney just set her up perfectly. To a battle of wits, pay-to-play comes unarmed. And she just announced that you can have outdoor gatherings. I hold in my hand here the phase-in report. Restrictions on gatherings of more than 10 people remain in effect. There's nothing about indoor or outdoor. I don't think she knows what she's talking about. So I guess she'll be asked about that today at their meeting in Lowell. Their press conference is in Lowell at 3:45 today. We'll be rolling on it if she's asked. What is the position of the shutdown forever commission today in Massachusetts? Can you have indoor gatherings, outdoor gatherings, 10 people, 25 people, 40 people? I mean, how insane does this get? 88 people under the age of 50 are dead. 88 people. Yesterday, they announced 74 people had died yesterday. You know how much the death count went up in nursing homes with 74 people dying? It went up by 78. You think they're playing fast and furious with the numbers? And so then you have the mayor of Somerville, once known as the All-American City, Joe Curtatone. He apparently thinks his name is Joe Stalin. He says he's going to defy both President Trump and Charlie Parker and restrict churches to having no more than 10 people in them. Again, Mayor, your name is Curtatone, not Stalin, okay? But again, back and forth they go, you know, Baker, the governor, Marty Walsh, the mayor, Curtatone, the mayor of Somerville, which is next door to Boston. So what does Marty Walsh do today? He cancels the Boston Marathon. I didn't check, but I'm pretty sure that they had a marathon in 1942. That's the key year I always go back to. That's the year after Pearl Harbor, when it appeared that there was a good chance that we might lose World War II. And they still had a baseball season. I'm pretty sure they still had a Boston Marathon. But now everything is in flux.
Wait a second. According to my history from Joe Biden, Pearl Harbor was on June 6th, 1945.
Yeah, I know. I think Joe Biden is now doing the daily numbers on the death count in Massachusetts, which Charlie Parker describes as the scoreboard because he takes it so seriously. He calls it, did you hear him say that the other day? The scoreboard. What a great guy. 844-500-4242. I shudder to think what's going to happen to Somerville tomorrow now that Marty Walsh has canceled the marathon. How does Curtatone raise the stakes now? I'll shut down the churches. Well, I'll cancel the Boston Marathon. What's next? Is he going to blockade the Orange Line so they can't go through Somerville anymore to stop the virus?
Who are you kidding, Howie? The T blockades itself.
When does it end? 561, when did we get together and decide mayors can tell us not to go to church? Exactly. I mean, you know, someone was saying he's defying Trump and Baker. He's defying the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Who the hell is he to tell people they can't go to church? They can go to the liquor store. They can go to Walmart, but they can't go to church? Oh, this is so bad. And now we have rioting in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Now, just think about this one. What was it? Just Friday night, I believe it was. We were talking about Mayor Fry, the boy wonder mayor of Minneapolis, another red diaper doper baby, as Michael Savage would call him. And he had announced, and you know, he's in the sweepstakes. They're all in the sweepstakes together, whether you're in Minnesota or Massachusetts or Illinois or New York or wherever, L.A. So he gets into the sweepstakes. I am going to up you by making it a crime or a citation offense to not wear a mask. Anybody over the age of two, I will instruct my police to write tickets to anyone over the age of two who's not wearing a mask in public. So I wonder if he was enforcing that last night, his police department, as the city was in flames after the death of that poor black man who was basically choked to death by Minneapolis police. So, you know, this is what happens when you have these kinds of breakdowns. And this whole panic has been a breakdown in society. You're starting to see this kind of street crime and street justice. There was a weird story in Ventura County, California, about this guy. Sounds like an illegal alien. He attacked a woman who was out walking her dog, and this was near a homeless camp. And the homeless people saw this guy attacking the woman, and the woman let the dog go, and then she escaped. And the homeless people, the bums, beat this guy to death. They just killed him. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you're having a breakdown here of law and order. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not everywhere, obviously. You know where it is? It's in the blue states. It's in the lockdown states. That's where this is going on. There aren't these kinds of problems in Florida's crazy, granted. You know, there's states as big as Florida and Texas always going to have problems. But you know what the big story in Texas is today? There's a bar where the bar owner has said you can't come into the bar if you're wearing a mask. You know why? Because he said, if you're wearing a mask, you must be sick. I don't want any sick people in here infecting my customers and me and my staff. So last night, Jacob Fry. Was Jacob Fry? Did the police enforce any of the social distancing laws that the mini Marxist mayor Jacob Fry put on the books? The thing is, though, you know, wearing a mask last night in Minneapolis came in very handy, didn't it? Kind of made it hard. If you were caught by the Target surveillance camera as you were looting the store. What were they going to do? Did it ever occur to the mayor that maybe there's a reason why a lot of places like, the Commonwealth of Virginia have laws on the books saying you can't wear masks? That maybe it's not such a good idea to make masks mandatory even for babies that aren't in kindergarten? That maybe this isn't the wisest thing in the world? In Minnesota, where 81% of the deaths are in nursing homes, where the average age of the decedents is 87, 844-500-4242. We're going to take some calls on all of this as we go through the afternoon. We've got a lot planned as always, and again, we hope to get some new guidance. They always say guidance. We get that. We need some new advisories. Considering it's yesterday, it was illegal to have gatherings of more than 10 people. Now it's okay anywhere. Now it's okay, according to Karen Polito, who's the head of the Shutdown Forever Commission, right?
Did this just happen?
It did just happen. It happened yesterday. We found it on the Governor's Council website, and I congratulate Marilyn Petito Devaney, Joe DiNucci's cousin from Watertown. She's the one who she set up Karen Polito like a bowling pin. And Karen is so dumb. Every day, you just see how dumb she is. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
If you want to see that sound cut, or video, actually, of Karen Polito changing the rules at the Governor's Council meeting, so it's okay to have an outdoor meeting with as many people as you want, even though that's not on the phase one requirements, which they put out, which I printed out and have a copy of. I kept it for these reasons. I somehow suspected these rules would come in handy down the road. If you want to see her changing the rules as she goes along, just go to HowieCarrShow.com. We've got it posted, HowieCarrShow.com, and you can see the whole thing. It's so special. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED all from home. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Speaking of standards for thee, but not for me, the governor of New Mexico is named Michelle Lujan Grisham. Michelle Lujan Grisham. And she's in the same category with, Katie Brown and Gina Raimondo and Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, and Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, all these female out-of-control Democrats. Not that there aren't out-of-control male Democrats and out-of-control alleged Republicans like Charlie Parker. But anyway, she's a real, do as I say, not as I do. So she issued lockdown orders for New Mexico and shut down all so-called non-essential businesses last month. But then she called a jewelry store because she wanted to buy some jewelry. Okay? At a place called Lily Barack. I guess that's an expensive jewelry store in New Mexico. The jewelry was bought by the governor over the phone, but the employee went to the store, got the jewelry, and placed it outside the door of the store where someone who knew the governor picked it up, the local TV station reported. This is according to the person who runs the jewelry stores. She says she didn't know about it until after she happened. So the jewelry store was shut down. The governor calls this employee that she knows, has her get the jewelry and put it outside the store, and obviously a state cop picked it up. They wouldn't. They refused to identify the state cop. And she says it was just taken to her, the spokesman for the governor said that the employee took the jewelry and took it home, didn't leave it outside the store, left it outside their home. And then some unnamed person came and picked it up. So she used a state employee to pick it up after she ordered the employee to violate their orders to give her to let her buy some jewelry. I guess she had a big national TV appearance and she wanted to be, well, put well coiffed or put out, whatever word you use. 844-500-4242. So Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more of a hypocrite, Karen Pulido or Michelle Grisham?
I'm going to go with the local gal. I'm going to vote for Karen Pulido.
78% say Karen Pulido.
But it's really good. Let's play a little bit more of that before we go to the calls. Okay, let's just play a little more. This is Marilyn Devaney asking the question, setting her up. She doesn't see it coming.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today before we close out our assembly?
That's Karen.
Yes, Lieutenant Governor. This is Marilyn again. I'm talking on behalf of my friends who have children who are graduating from high school. So they have asked me to ask you, will they be able to have graduation parties for their children in any form, a way, barbecue or whatever? They're very confused, getting mixed messages. So I'm asking you now if you can, so that I can tell them. Okay.
Okay, we don't need to have them talking about how sad she is for all the graduates, unlike her nephews and nieces who get to have parties because they have a lieutenant. Their aunt is the lieutenant governor. Let's just go to her moving the goalpost. Cut three.
So as everyone knows, we are in a state of emergency, and the governor has an order around gatherings, which limits gatherings to under 10 in indoor and confined spaces.
No. That's not what it says. It says under 10. It just says, it doesn't say anything about confined spaces or indoor spaces. Did I miss something there, Taylor? Have I got an old edition, the unupdated edition?
Oh, they did get some new Crayolas in the other day. They may have updated it. No, I don't think they have. That's what it said on the website, on the big, beautiful chart they have. Under 10, period.
Under 10, period. Okay. So now she goes on. She's digging the hole, but again, she missed the memo about if you're in a hole, stop digging. That's the first step. She just keeps digging. Cut four.
And so what we have seen is that some families are choosing to have a small, intimate family gathering outdoors where
it's
they
intimate,
can socially
it's okay.
distance and use their common sense and be respectful to each other. That is permissible under the governor's order.
You know, one thing there's been a real shortage of with Karen Pulido and Tal Duvall, common sense. As long as you have an intimate outdoor gathering, it's okay. Everything's fine. Yeah, right, Karen. We'll take your calls when we come right back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Before we go to the lines, we got full lines here. I just want to read something. This is from Victor Davis Hanson in the New Criterion. And he was talking about, what we learn from plagues. And I think that's what's going on here. Some of this horrible violence as the seams start to come apart in these societies when the police are being asked to do the most ridiculous things imaginable. The indignities are daily being inflicted upon the population. Petty tyrants are become intoxicated with their own powers. The governments fall apart. The legislatures are cease to exist. They're still getting paid, but they cease to exist. And he wrote about this when in the context of the Peloponnesian War, the ancient war between the Greek city-states. An overriding theme of this historian Thucydides' monumental history of the Peloponnesian War, 431 to 404 BC, or as they say now, BCE, is the fragility of civilization. In extremis, when both the elites and masses lose their thin veneer of culture, society can turn feral quickly. That's what we're seeing in the cities. How about the woman almost being lynched on Staten Island in the supermarket because she wasn't wearing a mask? I'd say that's an example of society turning feral. During a horrific war, plague, or revolution, even a wealthy and sophisticated civilization such as that of the classical Greek city-states regresses in a second to its innate state. And what follows from these natural and man-made disasters, which is what this lockdown is, a man-made disaster, is not pretty. Still, these calamities can be tragically instructional. Hypocrisies arise. Think Governor Grisham. Think Lieutenant Governor Polito. Pretexts vanish. Fundamental but forgotten truths, easily masked in terms of calm, reemerge. From Thucydides' warnings, we can glean that even suburban elites in Range Rovers can in a day be reduced to tugging over toilet paper rolls at Whole Foods. That's the way it is. I mean, it's reality. But again, there's people don't understand history anymore. They don't understand that we're going down a very bad road here, suspending people's civil liberties, restricting freedom, destroying the economy on behalf of a will-o'-the-wisp, an impossibility. You can't defeat death. Death is part of life. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Howie. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, Howie, unfortunately, here in Springfield, we had a death of, do you remember the old state senator, Congressman Andrew Schiavelli? His wife just passed away from coronas. She was 105.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Schiavelli, yeah, he was around from like the 1950s, wasn't he? He was a state rep.
Right, he was a state rep, and his son... took over Springfield Technical Community College.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they lost their mother at 105. And the first sentence in the obituary was that she died from coronavirus. So that just proved your theory that more people have died over the age of 100 from coronas than under 50.
You know what? I never even thought of it in those terms, Joe, but I think you're right. I think it's definitely true. I wish that the state on that dashboard they have every day that we put in the Twitter, the tweets, excuse me. I wish they would break it out, not just 80 and above, but I wish they would break it out 80 to 89, 90 to 99, and over 100. Because I'm sure there would be a lot of people above the age of 89. So Andrew Schiavelli's wife died at the age of a widow died at the age of 105. Thanks for the call, Joe. 844-500-4242. Dave, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie. The only way to break the grip of these petty tyrants in Massachusetts, anyway, is to do what they did in Wisconsin and challenge the whole thing on the constitutionality of it. Because none of these directives have the force of law. And at
Dave,
this
you
point,
have more. Dave, I'm just saying though, you have more faith in the Massachusetts judiciary than I do.
Well, yeah, point taken. That's true. But what do the business owners in Massachusetts have to lose at this point, right? And you know, if they all banded together, the gym owners, the restaurant owners, whomever, and Jim Lyons, I would like to see him lead an effort like that rather than continuing to write letters and try to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's way beyond trying to do the right thing, Howie. Now it's survival. So
yeah, I agree.
The only thing these people would understand would be an attempt like that, and perhaps you could get the DOJ to participate in that action.
Somebody asked me for Maine. Said when does Trump get involved? Because Maine's in the same paralysis, slowly being strangled to death economically as Massachusetts and so many of these other states. And I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know what the President Trump could do. I mean, I guess he can threaten to cut off aid, which he's done to Whitmer in Michigan. But I don't know what he can do beyond that. He can't send in federal troops to open up these places. You know, it's interesting. We had a in my place in Wellesley, we had a problem with the air conditioning today. So we called one of the plumbers we know just to see if he could come out. And the mailroom manager was talking to him, and he said, you know, it had been dead for 2 months, his business. And now it was getting hot, so everybody wanted to get their air conditioning fixed if they were having a problem. And so he said, he has his people ask, you know, we're going to come out, but can we come in? And can we come in if we're wearing masks? And he said, everyone just laughs and says, just come out. We don't care about the masks. I don't think they keep talking about these high favorability ratings for these people that are running around wringing their hands and telling everybody they can't work and that, you know, all the hacks have to keep getting paid, but you don't get paid. I don't see it. I don't see that people are frightened. I think I'm more frightened of Charlie Parker than I am of the coronavirus. He's going to destroy my way of life before the virus destroys my life. That's a saying that was probably, you know, first used about a month ago by a woman. I read it somewhere, but it's true. Thanks for the call, Dave. Tim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Howie, so you were asking about things that Charlie Parker has canceled?
Yes.
So, you know, he canceled the National Guard Association convention in Boston that was going to be held Labor Day weekend. It was the 142nd convention, and it was scheduled. They were going to have 12,000 people in Boston. Every hotel around the convention center was booked solid. We were going to have an exhibit at the convention center. But, I mean, this is the way he put it, Howie. He said he recommends that the convention be canceled. But it was the 142nd, it's called NGAUS, N-G-A-U-S, National Guard Association of the U.S., and he killed it. So that's 12,000 visitors to Boston, hotel rooms, wow, restaurants, taxi. He killed it.
Yeah, I mean, where does he think the money's going to come from? You know, I mean, think of all the sales taxes, and in Boston, you have a hotel tax, right? And you also have an extra tax on rental cars, which helps pay for the convention center. You know, you have all these taxes, and all the people who work in the hotels, they all pay income taxes, right? And then the visitors buy products and souvenirs, and they pay sales tax. I mean, the money is just all gone. And for what? For what? I mean, again, I'm sorry that, a certain number of people are dead. You know, another thing I looked at yesterday, he keeps talking about the testing. I've talked to about this before. He says we can do 30,000 tests a day, and we're doing 10,000 tests right now. So I say, okay, so we got three times the capacity we need. And he says, but we want to ramp up to 45,000 in July and 75,000 by Christmas. But I looked at the numbers yesterday. They're not doing 10,000 tests. They're not even doing 7,000 tests a day. So how frightened are the people if they're going to my plumber and saying, just come on in. We don't care about masks. Are they frightened if they're not going to get tests? You know why? You know why they're not frightened? Because they've looked at the numbers. They understand it's a big problem if you're in a nursing home. It's a big problem if you're over 80. It's a big problem if you weigh 300 pounds. I'm sorry for those people. Stay safe. I don't want you to die. But you can't destroy the society. And it's not going to help them long term. 844-500-4242. Somebody says, are the reps still collecting their per diems? No, they changed that law. So they get an X number every year. So that instead of having to put in for like $15 a day if you live in Lexington, or $5 a day if you live in East Boston, they just get a certain amount, $15,000, $20,000, whatever it is. So they don't have to pretend anymore. They don't have to turn in the aptly named cheat sheet every week to the state treasurer. Andy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, Howie. I called
311 City Hall and I said to please relay a message to Mayor Curatone. I say those blue bikes these millenniums ride, they come back. It seems like they don't disinfect them. I suggested they should have like a disinfectant thing so it won't be cross-contamination. But apparently Boston, Cambridge, and the rest of the cities are not doing that, you know?
Again, you know, so sometimes some things are more important to virtue signal than others. What do you think of that? You live in Somerville, Andy. What do you think of this this latest edict where he's trying to one-up Governor Baker and Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston?
It's pathetic, you know?
I know. You know, I when I lived in Somerville, we had a lot of corrupt politicians. I mean, some of them went to prison. Some of them were tried. Some of them would have been tried, but they were too drunk to meet with the FBI agents to accept the bribes. Somerville old-timers know who I'm talking about. But we never had anybody try to shut down the churches. It's amazing. Just amazing. Thanks for the call, Andy. It's horrible is what it is. Whether you're religious or not, you know, if this guy is willing to shut down the churches, he's willing to shut down whatever you like, whether it's a knitting club or the Boy Scouts or the Communist Party League. You know, we have something called freedom of assembly. It's not just freedom of religion. It's freedom of assembly. And it's all mixed up with freedom of speech. It's all right there in the First Amendment. And Curtatone is just trashing it. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie, I have a great idea. Since Marty Walsh has completely canceled the Boston Marathon coming up in September, I think we should start the Burn Marathon. And it's approximately... So I looked it up, and it's just about 26 miles from South Yarmouth to Burn, Massachusetts. And, you know, there's a few good hills in between as you go along Route 6, you know, up, down, and then you get to Burn. And you could have the finish line there at the Burn Bridge.
You know, Bob, I used to suggest that, you know, it wasn't fair for those of us on the route of the Boston Marathon to have all that fun to ourselves year after year. And then maybe we should have, like, the Linway Marathon or the I-91 Marathon. But, you know, you're right. I mean, now that it's been canceled, I find myself being a big supporter of the Boston Marathon because I don't want these people to win. And I don't think it's the virus winning. I think it's these petty tyrants that are winning. Thanks for the call. The Burn Marathon. Burn, baby, burn. I guess that's the wrong time to say this, given the events in Minneapolis. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
All right. I want to say thank you again. Be safe. Go enjoy the weather. And we will conclude our business today and look forward to seeing you at our next session.
Living for the weekend. Going out to the compound on Lake Quinsigamond. I'm going to have some adult beverages with the lieutenant governor and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other people because we want to keep it under 10. Oh, yes, that's not a problem if you're outside, according to her. 844-500-4242. I'm just looking at it. Someone sent me a picture from last night in Minneapolis. The guy's looting a liquor store. He's got a bottle of Jack and a bottle that looks like some kind of brandy. And it's some other bottle I don't recognize, and he's wearing a mask. Masks are doing double duty now. They protect you from the coronavirus cootie, and they protect you from surveillance footage. 844-500-4242-781 says, so if churches are closed, that means no AA meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous. I know a lot of people have been suffering, not being able to go to meetings, myself included. I didn't realize that until a few nights ago when somebody mentioned it. They said that in some of the liquor store, outside the liquor stores, people have put up handmade signs, you know, recovering alcoholics that are worried about this, and they say, you know, stay strong and don't give in. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, there are all these things that these unintended consequences of giving people these rushes. I mean, Curtatone, Walsh, Baker, they're intoxicated with power, but they never think that other people, this might lead some of their constituents to get intoxicated with other drugs that are not going to be a positive for their own lives. And I don't think Curtatone, Walsh, and Baker are going to enjoy a long-term positive from this high that they're getting from bossing everybody around. Sharon, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, yes, Howie. I just wanted to call and say, along the same lines with what you were saying about people going, the plumbers going into people's homes, my parents are 80-something, and we did the isolating for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then they lectured us and said that we did not have the right to take away the privilege of seeing their kids and grandkids because they don't know what they have for time left.
Right.
And the thing that makes them want to live is seeing their kids and grandkids.
Right.
So I think that, you know, it goes out along the lines of it's freedom. It's their choice. It's their right.
Right.
And we can't take that away from them.
Yeah, all these people that are telling us what we can and cannot do, I thought these were the people who said, you know, our bodies ourselves, right? You know, they're pro-choice. Where is our choice, Sharon? Where's your parents' choice?
They set us straight. They set us straight on that. And I'm so happy because my mother could die next week.
We all could die next week, Sharon.
We didn't. Well, this is true. Nothing has a 0% in probability of dying, right? There's no 0%. I can be in my car and die. But we have a right to choose, and even our elderly have a right to choose.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And I've talked to a lot of elderly people who feel that way. You know, they say, you know, I go out to dinner on the weekends on the island in Palm Beach. And I see a lot of older people. I know I'm old, but I see older people than me, and they're not concerned. I mean, they may be concerned, but what's the point of living if you're in a cell? It's like being in prison, and they seem to think that you know, they can lecture us and tell us what to do and tell us it's a terrible problem. And then in the case of Cuomo, you know, his brother's walking around infected, doesn't care. Polito is telling us what to do, and she's throwing big parties, or her brother is. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.